Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, or what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me via the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. I'm delighted to be joined by Laura today on the latest edition of the podcast, the video podcast, should I say. So welcome to this, Laura.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So today we're going to talk about Google Business Profile, and obviously we'll go into details of that in a moment. But it'd be good to know a little bit about you, so people can know and kind of frame the conversation about what you do, and then we'll kind of take it from there, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure. So like Mike said, I'm Laura Norman. I run a company called Chroma Marketing. We are marketing consultants. I set up the business while I was at university with the view to kind of give a different option for people's marketing needs. Having worked in agency environment before, I found that there was a little kind of disconnect between small businesses, micro businesses, and what they were getting from marketing at the time. And that there was a big need for people to just kind of help and guide people along the way and really kind of get to grips with how they could be doing marketing differently. So we've built the team, and we predominantly work with small business owners, and our kind of key specialism is marketing strategy. So we're all about figuring out, you know, who do you want to be in front of? What do they need to hear from you? How can we create those really good quality stories? And then where do we put them? And we particularly like working with values-driven, purpose-driven organisations, people doing good, basically, for society and the environment. So that's a little bit about me.
Perfect. And as always, and obviously I'll get you to kind of give the details of this towards the end, we'll put Laura's details in. So whether you're watching this on YouTube, it'll be on there, kind of links through or the podcast as well. So if anyone wants to find out more, we'll put the details there. So on to today's subject, which is Google Business Profile. I'm sure there'll be people watching and listening who know that is, and some that won't. So do you want to kind of give a quick summary of what it is? It's probably a good place to start.
Yeah, sure. Like you say, it's surprising how many people we come across that don't really know what it is. But I kind of understand why, because I don't think it really falls into like a category of platforms, if you like, that people expect to use. You expect to have a website, you expect to have social media platforms like LinkedIn or Instagram. Google Business Profile used to be called Google My Business. They are the same thing. And it is almost like a profile, a shop window of your business that sits within Google search. So it's got all of your kind of key contact information, information about your products and services, your kind of latest Google reviews. And anytime you search the name of your business or something like, so for us, maybe marketing consultants near me, what Google will do is pop up select number of those profiles that you can choose from. So it's very much kind of a first glance, almost like a mini social platform, because you can post to it as well within Google search.
Do you find it something, and I would probably say I might be guilty of this myself, it's something that people that do know about it will set it up to start with, put the relevant details in, and then that's it. Forget about it for large periods of time. Obviously, everyone will be different, but it could be from 6 months to years or years that people could leave. Is that probably a fair assumption?
Completely. The amount of people that we kind of talk to that are just sat on it, hoping that it's doing something for them behind the scenes, but it's like any type of marketing, you have to actually use it to get any benefit from it. But I think part of that comes from the fact that it's not familiar territory for a lot of people. You know, it comes along with things like SEO, search engine optimization, And they kind of feel like these kind of mystical things in the marketing industry that people don't really, and maybe almost kind of worried about what they're doing there to make sure they're doing the right thing. And it's really not that complicated. So you, if you're not using Google Business Profile, it's a bit of a goldmine if you can get it set up and use it actively.
Do you think that, I think what you kind of touched on earlier might be part of the issue, is it don't kind of fit into a particular box. It's not a social media platform, which kind of, depending on which platforms you're talking about, we all kind of understand vaguely what they're about. It's not kind of anything that's comparable. Do you think that probably is the problem? Right? We do this list of things that we deal with, but it's not there.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. I think realistically, you've got lots of elements of different types of marketing that we might already be familiar with. So you can post to it like you do on social media. You can leave reviews like you do on TripAdvisor. You can have appointment links like Calendly. You can add photos. So there's a lot of elements of Google Business Profile that almost feel like they're being patched together from things that you may already be familiar with. And it doesn't necessarily feel like it fits into a routine that you might have already established as part of your marketing exercise, which is then why I think it kind of gets forgotten about a little bit.
It kind of feels like it should be something that could kind of almost attach to other platforms that kind of could drag the information through. And I know it kind of does, but yeah. You know, I think from our point of view, it'd be great if you could somehow connect it to Eventbrite as an example for events and, you know, latest events from the Northern Affinity pop-up or, you know, your last tweet or whatever it might be. It feels like, and I know that's not the purpose of it, but from a usability point of view, that kind of feels like what would be a nice, nice functionality.
Almost like an RSS feed, like it automatically pulls data through. And it does to some extent. So with reviews, for example, it does pull reviews from the web. So if you've got reviews on Facebook or Trustpilot, TripAdvisor and other platforms, Google will pull them in. It's almost as if you kind of want it to happen the other way, so that the information from Google populates other places. I don't know. I think it's kind of that it doesn't fit into a box and therefore you steer away from it because it's not necessarily part of your already actionable to-do list. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. So, you know, assuming people now are thinking, okay, yes, I need to do something with this. So how do they do it? What do they do?
So if you've not got it at all, you need to set up a business in Google Business Profile. And the way you do that is you log in through a Gmail account and there's a tab that says Business Profile. If your business doesn't exist in alignment with that email address, it'll say create or claim a business, basically, and it'll get you to claim a business. Might be a website link, but it'll basically link to something for you. If you already have it, all you need to do is go into the back end of your Google account. There'll be the icon that says Business Profile. Once you click on that, it'll bring up the information that already exists for Google Business Profile for your business. And you can edit. You can edit and then factor it into your routine moving forwards. There are, I guess, key bits of information to know with Google Business Profile. You have several buttons, and the interface has changed slightly over the last few months. So if when you do go into it, you think, oh my goodness, this doesn't look familiar at all, I don't remember any of this, that might be why. So just give yourself a little bit of time to refamiliarize. It's much more embedded within your usual Google search now for editing, whereas before it used to almost feel like its own kind of back-end portal. It doesn't as much now. Whether I think that's got the best user experience or not, I'm not 100% sure, because it does feel a little bit clunky. But once you get to grips with where information sits, it's a lot easier to manage. So a couple of key places to go with Google Business Profile. You've got a button that says Edit Profile. It looks like a little shop front, like an old market stall, and it says Edit Profile underneath. If you click on that, that is where you edit all of the details about you and in your business. So you can add contact number, website link, your kind of products and services. You can add photos, logos, all of that information, tweak the business name if you really want to. That's all found under the edit profile button. So that's the first thing to fill in, basically. And the best way of doing that is just to work top to bottom. Make sure you've got every single piece of information that's relevant. Every blank space is filled, basically, with stuff that makes sense to be filled. You know, there's buttons, for example, that says you're a female-led business. If you're not, then obviously don't click that. So just fill it in from top to bottom. Make sure everything's there. Usually when you edit information in that section, it may take a couple of hours to kind of refresh it. It takes a little bit of time to almost re-verify that is correct. So that's the first thing, is the edit profile section. You've then got a section which there's a small dial that will give you kind of an idea of your profile strength, similar to how LinkedIn tells you whether you've got like an all-star profile. Mm-hmm. And it's a small ring and it fills it in a specific color. And I think it's based on a traffic light system, to be honest. Next to that, there's a three dots, like three vertical dots. And if you click on there, there's an option that says business profile settings. That's where you can add people as admin users, like you can on a LinkedIn business page. It's where you can add anything related to kind of key prompts that you want to get from business profile. So it's more the, I guess, admin side of business profile, whereas the edit profile is more the customer facing detail. This is more managing it behind the scenes. So it's worth, again, just making sure that everything syncs the way you want it to be synced in that business profile settings. So we've got edit profile and business profile settings are the main two, I guess, bits that need filling in to start with.
Yeah, and I'm right to say now it's kind of Google Map. It's kind of integrated with Google Maps, isn't it? Yeah. So I think is it important to say that, you know, I think it's obvious if you've got a shop or a restaurant or something like that, it's obvious why you would do this. But for maybe other people who are B2B services type, how is it just as important, even if it's not about trying to find your physical shop, it's trying to find you?
Yeah, 100%, because obviously Google business profile is owned by Google, and Google a lot of work to do with like SEO, for example, so the visibility of your website in search, is to do with location. So when you think about what's called off-page SEO, basically anything outside of your website that can impact the visibility of that website in search. Your location is one of the key factors. So if somebody is walking past your office when they're searching marketing services near me, then the ideal situation is that you're front and center when that's happening. And Google Business Profile is a great way of kind of chipping away at that potential. So yes, and if you're sat there thinking, okay, well, I can work with people across the country, then there's a part of Google Business Profile that lets you assign kind of service area. So where do you want to be visible for as like a starting point, really? So yeah, massively, your use of Google Business Profile can directly impact your search visibility. So being conscious of the locations that you're referencing is just as important if you are a non-tangible business, like a service business, as it is a product shop front.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've touched on a couple of times kind of SEO, search engine optimization. Do you want to kind of just briefly kind of explain that and maybe then the benefit this it's kind of hopefully obvious, and I'm sure most people's default engine is Google. So yeah, having a effective profile on Google just makes sense, doesn't it? But it'd be interesting just kind of give an overview of that.
Yeah. And I guess just before I kind of move on with that, something to caveat is don't sleep on other search engines like Bing. There are people that do use it as a search engine. So mirror what you're doing in Google Business Profile to other search engines like Bing is a kind of small caveat there, because there are definitely untapped potentials there. But yeah, so search engine optimization is essentially, it's kind of an overcomplicated thing in the industry. There are lots of technical things that go behind search engine optimization, and I am not by any means trying to put that down for starters, because there's a lot that goes into it. However, I think there's a slight trend in the sector of kind of making it feel like this overly complicated thing. And it's a lot of it is driven by kind of data, really. But basically, search engine optimization in its most basic principle, is about making you visible in the search engine. So making your website address the top, front and center result in search. So with search engine optimization, you've got two kind of key things to think about. You've got on-page search engine optimization and off-page. On-page, in essence, is everything on your website, on the pages of your site that can impact its success. Off-page is the complete opposite. It's anything off of the page. So you can have much more tangible, direct impact with on-page SEO. There are some things off page that it's much harder to control. So if you're in a situation like me, for example, where you do your own, it's feels sometimes easier to tick off the boxes of the on-page SEO than off page. And I would highly recommend speaking to a specialist when it comes to really forming your kind of SEO strategy, because there are things behind the scenes that are more complicated, are more technical. And if you're not trained, in that side, then it can feel quite confusing. So that's a very basic overview.
No, and what we're doing right now is an example, isn't it, of the off-page SEO. You know, this people are watching on video, it's on YouTube, and It has a link back to our website, but also we'll have a link back to your website. Mm-hmm. And that's an example. And I think maybe some of the most common thing, PR is an example of that. You know, if you have an article in a renowned magazine or newspaper and it's linked back to you on your website, that's, you know, again, I know it's a lot more complex than that, but some of the more kind of obvious things, I guess, can really affect that visibility of you. And it's almost credibility as well, isn't it? What Google wants to do is put the most credible results at the top of the search. So if someone puts marketing Yorkshire, they want the who they perceive to be the best marketing companies in Yorkshire at the top of that list.
Yeah, absolutely. And
that's based on all this stuff that we won't go into too much detail of now. But,
all the stuff,
And it is basically all, you know, what you say on your own channels, but what other people are saying about you on other channels as well.
Absolutely. It all comes down to authority and trustworthiness at the end of the day with anything to do with marketing. You know, when you think about the customer journey, you've got three key questions that you want to answer as a very basic level. You know, you want to customers want to know, do you do what I need you to do? Can I trust you? Which is this authority piece. And then how do I get it? And if you know and consider the fact that that is part of every single customer's journey, can I trust you? Can I trust you with my money and my time? Then actually thinking about SEO as part of that, it makes sense why it's so important. Because, yeah, like you say, Google actively want to highlight companies that it sees as trustworthy and accessible. So, things like Google Business Profile is a definitely example of off-page SEO. You mentioned what is called backlinks, so almost these invisible pieces of thread between your website and a trustworthy other website makes you feel more. It's like leveraging, constant leveraging of building that reputation and trust, basically. Mike, I've lost your sound.
Sorry, can you hear me now, Laura?
Yes, I can, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on SEO by any means, but one of the things we try to do at Northern Affinity is obviously we have a profile of all our partners on our page. So that's a link through to their website, amongst other things. Well, what we want to do is make our website as credible as possible, and that takes time because that adds value for everybody else in the group. And it's and obviously everybody else in the group's website, the more credible each other's are, we're all linked, basically. Yeah. And that's one of the kind of always been one of the ideas behind that for us. So for anybody as a real life example, and it doesn't happen overnight, but it's something that can be done.
Yeah.
Now you touched on it very briefly earlier, and I did about reviews.
Yes.
As well. Yeah. How does that kind of fit into your Google Business Profile?
Yeah. So reviews are incredibly important with Google Business Profile because it does exactly what we've just been talking about. It sets precedent for how trustworthy you are. And when it comes to Google Business Profile, there are probably three key parts of it that I think people sleep on and could be doing more with. And reviews is definitely one of them. You may look at your profile and see, you know, our last review was in 2005. Well, if that was a customer, they're going to be thinking, one, do you still exist? Two, you know, have you just done really bad work in the last 20 years? Like, what's going on there? It automatically makes people question. And you know as well as I do, whenever you search something new and search, I don't know, it could be a restaurant, it could be a hotel, or it could be like a pensions advisor, you're comparing. And if you can see that somebody's got way more positive reviews than somebody else, you're probably more likely to automatically kind of trust them. The more reviews you have over competitors, the more advantage you have. Now, if you're kind of starting from scratch, I always say to clients that a good place to start is to build up so that you're getting, you know, a minimum of kind of 10 good Google reviews a year, and you're responding to those reviews when you get them, you know, highlighting some key elements of the story in your response. The other thing there is if you don't get a good review, but you actually get a negative one, show that you care about that and respond to it in a positive light, a way that you're kind of showing the initiative that you're going to deal with the issue at hand. So Google reviews are incredibly powerful. And like I say, are one of the key kind of parts of Google that I would definitely focus on.
Just before, I was interested to know, do you think maybe something reason people are worried about asking is in case they do get a negative review? And kind of my response would be to that, you know, that might happen, but if you're asking regularly and you're getting mostly good reviews, I think most of us accept now that you actually do get some bad reviews. Now, it's normally, I don't know about you, holidays might be a great example. You look at a hotel, you're going to get some bad reviews on there, but it's kind of like the trend essentially, isn't it? And also what people are saying. I, you know, to tell a story, I once remember seeing a hotel going for essentially a beach holiday, nearly all great reviews about everything about it, location, food, all that stuff. There's one star review because the Wi-Fi wasn't great. And, you know, personally, I'm going to a beach holiday, I'm less bothered about the Wi-Fi. And so I think that's kind of the trend, isn't it? Rather than worry too much about the individual review.
Yeah, exactly that. I think, we have been there. We avoid bad feedback. we don't like getting negative responses. However, they're the things that probably actually help you learn more than positive ones. So, and also give your clients, prospective customers, a real insight into the kind of nature you are as a business to work alongside and work with, buy from, just as much as positive ones do. Because the other thing I would say there is, normally when it comes to experiences, people only really leave negative reviews. People, I think, sometimes kind of think it's a given that other people will share their positive experience, whereas actually when it comes to negative reviews, you want people to know. So sometimes you have to take these things with a pinch of salt and take it based on kind of your own personal judgment and research. But yeah, I think definitely, yeah, it's like trends of reviews, but also just, yeah, see what else is out there. But as a business, making sure that you're responding to all of them to show your character.
No, absolutely. So before we finish, Laura, is there any other parts of the Google business profile you want to kind of cover?
Yeah, sure. The two small kind of features that are definitely small and mighty. So the first one is that you can actually post to Google business profile. The posts aren't necessarily customer facing for very long. I think they have a lifespan of, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's about 7 days kind of front and center, but you can generally see them for a fair amount of time. That might have changed since I last looked. But either way, posting to Google Business Profile is great because in your captions, you can pack them full of keywords, pack them full of relevant terms. They're great spaces for kind of showing people that you know what you're talking about as well. And the thing with posts in Google Business Profile is that they are literally at the bottom of your profile. So people can see without having to go to any other social platform, you know, what's relevant that you're talking about, what do you believe in, you know your stuff, basically. So that's the first thing. And you can, via scheduling tools as well, schedule them like you would your normal content. Okay. There are only a couple of tools that do work for that. There's one called Planable and there's one called Metrical, which we use, both of which let you schedule content to Google Business Profile alongside other platforms as well, just like you might on LinkedIn. So that's the first thing.
So it's not going to be too time consuming. So you're kind of already going to put the post out there on a LinkedIn or wherever it might be.
So yeah. Okay. Yeah. It doesn't have to take long at all. And I don't necessarily say put the same messages out everywhere, but it could just be a copy and paste job if you are strapped for time. Make sure you've got a really good quality caption there. But yeah, get it out there with a good image. You can post videos, but you can't schedule videos, I don't believe, on many platforms at all, if any. But you could simply just upload that live when you are going to do it. And so, yeah, posting, absolutely. Make, even if it's just once a week, get something out there consistently into your Google Business profile. The final one is there's a section in Google Business Profile called Questions and Answers. Now, essentially, this is normally like treated like a an FAQ section. So you have, there's a button for customers that says ask a question. So if, I don't know, you want to check if a business is open on a Thursday evening, or if they have a specific offering, you know, for me, it might be, do you do social media training or something like that? Mm-hmm. Customers can ask you that question and you can respond to it. Now, a really great way of almost starting the ball rolling, people don't like being the first question asker in these situations. So what you could do is get a couple of people in your network to ask a few kind of questions that you already know people regularly ask, your kind of frequently asked questions from your website, you could add in there. You then can go in and respond to those when they get asked to you. So it's just keeping an eye on there. But again, it's a great way of making sure you're referencing key, maybe objections that people might have as part of your customer journey, or just generally, if people ask the same things over and over again, you could just get it on there as well as on your website, make it super, super clear from the get go. So that's a great part. And if you've not got questions on there already, it's definitely worth adding some to start with.
Makes total sense, Laura. Thank you. So just to kind of finish off, obviously we touched on this right at the start, if anyone wants to kind of maybe ask questions or find out a bit more about you, what you do, where's the best places to look and find you? Like I said, we'll put the details in the show notes, but just in case, where's the best places?
Yeah, so I guess makes sense to mention, if it's like a quick marketing question, stick it in our Q&A section on Google Business Profile, and I can pull an answer together for you there. But generally speaking, you'll find me. I am a constant lingerer of LinkedIn. So you can connect with me on there. Like I say, my name's Laura Norman, and I'll happily kind of chat with anybody if you need it.
Thank you, Lauren. If anyone can't find it, like I said, it should always be in the notes, but kind of just give me a shout and we'll pass those details on. So thank you, Laura. That was great. And I'm sure a lot of people, including myself, have thought, I need to do some stuff.
Thanks, Mike.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today. And like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. The Northern Affinity hold events all across the north of England. And we'd love to meet new people and then have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.